I'm just going to say it like it's written. That's what you want, isn't it? Amen. You see, if I don't preach it, that's still not going to take it out of the way. So this is a judgment for the wicked dead. You say, well, preacher, I'm not saved, but I'm not wicked. May I say to you, rejecting Jesus Christ is about as wicked as you can get. That's biblical wickedness. You may not be a murderer. You may not be a thief. You may be a very moral person. But the terrible thing is, those kind of people will die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. So this is the judgment for lost people. Tonight we're going to talk about Christ's judgment seat, where a Christian will be. For truly, every one of us will give an account of our life, what we've done with it. Both good or bad, it's there. We'll see it. I've got to preach it before we're finished. I've got to stay faithful to the Scripture. But this morning, it is to the lost. But again, Christian, you ought to be more thankful for the blood of Christ. And you ought to be more prayerful and burdened for the lost. And understand that this church, we are here as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So there are three points that I will be very plain and with you about. It's the judge, that's point number one. The judged, point number two. And point number three is the judgment, what it actually is. So let's look at the judge. In verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. Well, I got to stop right there and tell you that in that custom of that day, the higher the throne, the greater the deity, the greater the king. Scares me right there. Friend, this one that will judge lost people is the one that died and rose again. And one day he shall sit in the highest throne of this universe. In fact, he's already there. He's called Lord. I saw a great white throne. We've got to look at that in two ways. Hear me. His throne and him on the throne. You see, I believe if we really could see God as he was, it'd change our life. And the Bible's telling us exactly who he is. His throne is great. Now, notice, it's a throne. Now, if my understanding is right, when a judge is seated here, it's on a bench. Is that correct? He's on the bench. He's elected. He's not coronated. He has some power, a lot of power, but limited. But I want to tell you, this judge not sitting on a bench. He's on a throne. That means you're not going to vote him out. Kick him out. Impeach him. Hello? And I'll tell you something, he's on a white throne, so there's no dirt about him to dig up. For that throne is what color? White. Friend, that's the only color that God would have anything to do with, white. Because white symbolizes holiness. Symbolizes sinlessness. So here we have a sovereign God. The God of this age and ages to come. The great I am. From eternity past, future. No end of days. And you're going to stand before him. And God divides people two ways. Saved and lost. Doesn't distinguish between character. Doesn't distinguish between wealth. We'll talk about that fully in just a minute. But you either saved or lost. And if you stand here, you're lost. You're standing before a sovereign on a throne. Not an earthly man on a bench whose days are numbered and who will run out of days just like you and just like me. But this is an eternal God on a white, holy throne. Now that's His throne. That tells us something about Him. But Revelation tells us a lot more than just about the throne. For if you'll read back in the second chapter, the first chapter and the second chapter of Revelation, it says that His eyes were as of fire. And His hair was like wool. And is referred to as the Ancient of Days. And that's the same one. It'll be on this throne. And now you know why heaven and earth fled away. What an awesome sight. What an awesome figure. What an awesome throne. What an awesome God. And what an awesome judgment. It horrifies me and I'm saved. You say, I'm not afraid of that kind of God. I'll tell you something. You're a little mental deranged. I'd almost call you a fool, but the Bible says not to. But you're foolish. Him on the throne, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I believe that's talking about people. I believe heaven and earth, those that are the people that are gathered there. Who are they? They're lost people. You know, I hate to be self-conscious. Have you ever been put in a place where you're conscious of yourself? I don't get it but about three times a week, but anyway. And some of y'all think when preachers put their hands behind their back, they're just looking holy. No, they're self-conscious. They can't find any place to put their hands. You ever notice when you're self-conscious how you can't find a place to put your hands? Because your hands reveal a whole lot about you. Can you imagine standing before an august judge that'll never die? And His piercing eyes looking at you, and there is no place to hide. Not only you, but heaven and earth would flee if it could. I would imagine the rocks falling on them in the book of Revelations would be pleasant compared to this, but even a rock can fall on you, and you'll get here. Amen. Friend, we have a God that knows all things, who is sovereign. And He not only will judge us as a Christian at Christ's judgment seat, we'll discuss that tonight, but He's going to judge lost people at a throne, a great one, and a white one. And it is a fearful place. And there is no hiding place. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me? No, I'm trying to get you to look to Jesus. I'm trying to get you to understand that there's life after death, and you'll stand in the judgment before God. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the judge. He won't be voted out, impeached. He's not going to die. You won't dethrone Him, but you'll face Him. Any of this not in the Bible, you're welcome to change me on it, but you need to bring your Bible with you. It will take it. Because I'm going by the book, amen? Here it is. That's the judge. The judged, who are they? Well, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Back to verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Here's the judged. Who are they? Everybody that don't know Christ. I mean, all means all, doesn't it? Everybody doesn't know Christ. And I saw thee dead, small and great, stand before God. All stand. Now listen, here's something we have a problem with here in this country especially. Listen close. The greatest of the great have no advantage. And the smallest of the small have no excuse. We all fit somewhere in there, don't we? The greatest of the great. You don't have enough money to buy you out of it. Pedigree won't get it. Paul had a great pedigree, but he got struck down on the Damascus Road as Saul of Tarsus, and he came to Christ, and that's the only way you're going to make it to heaven. Pedigree won't make it. Money won't get it. That rich young ruler left sad because his wealth was still his God. And if it was his God the day he died, he's in hell today. Amen. Smallest of the small, no excuse. That poor widow brought her mite and gave it, and Jesus accepted her. And no matter how small you may think you are and how insignificant you think you may be, friend, God will save you if you will repent and come to Him. That's amen stuff there, isn't it? So all will stand, small to great. The greatest of the great have no advantage, and the smallest of the small have no excuse. Verse 13, there's no hiding place, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. You know, that in itself should bring us to tears. These people had rather remain in dead, death, and hell. They would flee back there if they could. Do you understand what the Bible's saying? They would gladly flee back to their place. But they can't. Because before Him there is no place to run. The heaven and earth would flee, but there's no hiding place. The sea gave up the dead. Say, how's that going to happen? I don't know, but it brought Jonas around to the right place, didn't it? Yeah. God's got a way. No hiding. And here's what's all scary to me, but. And they were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their words. Verse 13. They were judged, every man, according to their works. You say, well, I do pretty good work. Well, let me tell you something. When you stand you up against Jesus, you and I both fail bad. It's not our righteousness we're going to make it into heaven on. It's His righteousness. And the only way we're going to get it is imputed to us by grace through faith. No other way. Judged according to works. Now, I think I may have mentioned this here, but as a point of application, when the earth was destroyed in the first judgment, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Is that in your Bible? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I've got to ask this thinking congregation a question. If you had been 40 days and 40 nights in that torrent and ridden in a boat pitched about for that time, the next time you saw a big black cloud coming, what would you be? Nervous. You going to do it again. But two. Now listen close. A lot of folks think that the rainbow says God's not going to destroy the earth again. You need to read a little closer. He not destroy it by water. It'll be destroyed by fire this time. But to give Noah peace, he put a bow in the sky, and that rainbow symbolizes grace. You with me so far? For your reading entertainment this evening, write down Ezekiel 1:28. You'll find this. Ezekiel saw a throne. He saw the one on the throne. And here's what he said. I saw the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. What did he see? He saw a throne where they shall be judged by grace. Boy, I'm thankful for that one. That's tonight's message. Thank God for that. Can you say that? Thank God for that. You should if you're saved. He saw that bow. That's Christ's judgment seat. We're talking about the great white throne. But at Christ's judgment seat, there is a bow over it. Now, Revelations 4 and 3. Go back there with me. We're pretty close. Just keep your finger in Revelation 20. Back up a few chapters. Chapter 4. I believe the Bible, don't y'all? Good book. I like it. First one. Chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. Oh. Another throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. What's this John sees? John sees the same thing Ezekiel saw hundreds of years before. He saw the throne of grace. He saw a bow. Ezekiel saw a bow. John sees a bow. But Revelation 20, search it. Put it under a magnifying glass. Look it up in the Greek. I'll loan you the stuff to do it with. And you won't find no bow. Why no bow there? Because man's not going to be judged by grace there. Can I tell you, I rejoice in the grace of God. I thank God that one day He laid His sovereign hand on me and saved my wretched soul. That's the only way I'm going to miss this place. Hear me. Not just me, the Word. At the great white throne of judgment, man will not be judged by grace, but by his or her own works. That's what the Bible says. Look at it. 20th chapter. And I saw the dead, verse 12, small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Oh. And may I hasten to say to you, our works is as filthy rags. Our works are as filthy rags. Do not think you'll come from here unscathed. Do not think you'll leave this place with a wink and a nod from a sovereign saying it's okay. Because when we measure up to Jesus Christ, we all fail. And I must hasten to tell you, I don't want what's coming to me. I want what's coming to him. You can amen that. That's all right. I want what he prevailed for. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That is the essence of the gospel. And thank God for it. And today we are still under the day of grace. We can be saved today. You can be saved today if you'll repent and come to Christ. It's not too late. That's the judge. The judged. Now let's talk about the judgment. Verse 12. What kind of judgment is it going to be? Now, I keep referring about what we're going to preach about tonight. This is more than what I'm telling you now, but you might call this an advertisement if you'd like. But in the next verse under where we're going to be studying tonight, Paul said he feared and trembled. Now, folks, if the man that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, the Lord used his hand to do it, and went all over Europe and Asia preaching the gospel, was fearful when he thought about that day, how much more should you and I think about it in fear? Now that's to stand under the throne of grace. Hello, y'all out there? Y'all quiet. Now if that scared that man, how much more should we take this judgment? This, the Bible tells us about it here. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Well, why was it open? In fact, well, let me go ahead and read it. Two books there. There are many books. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book. Now, let me hang up right there a minute. Heaven or hell is determined by whether or not your name is in this book. That's kind of pointed, isn't it? And other books were open. Other book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. We're shown a book. First of all, what are those other books having? Now, let me say this to you. There are many, 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 many opinions about all this. And I'm going to give you mine. I've told you about commentators before. They just commentators. Read it for yourself. Commentate yourself. Think about it. Why are the books open? Well, you need to see what's in there. That's why you open the book, don't you? I mean, you don't open the book just to look at the day it was printed or copyrighted, do you? No, you want to see what's in it. I open the book, see what's on the inside of it. Well, I'm glad when God opens my book, he's going to see covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Huh? Washed whiter than snow. Absolutely holy and perfect because it's been given to him by grace. I'm glad my book's clean. In fact, the scripture says something like washed fuller, whiter than any fuller's or laundryman's soap could wash it. Praise God for Jesus. Books were opened. What about your book? Is it perfect? I'm going to tell you, when he wiped mine clean, it was full. It wasn't a book, it was a volume. The Bible talks about every idle word being judged. Is that in there? You better know it is. Showing a book. But now, what about this book singular, which is the book of life? Well, let's go back to where it's mentioned in Revelation 3. Revelation 3. verses 4 and 5. Jesus speaking to the church at Sardis. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Well, their garments are what color then? White. Speaking to saved people. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I said, Provoked a little thought. I believe Jesus said somewhere in one of the Gospels that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Is that right? And if you will not confess me before men, I will not confess you before the Father. So apparently, we must confess Him. And it says here that if we would confess His name before the Father, He would not blot our name out of the book of life. Is that what it says? Let's read it again. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I'll not blot his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What about that book over in Revelation 20? You see, I believe it's going to be terrible to understand you've been raised from the sea, the death, and hell, and the only place you're going to be sent is to a greater hell. And all you got to be sent there is not in this book. And I believe it's going to be a heartbreaking thing. Now, why do you open a book? To see what's in it or what's not in it? I said to see what's in it or what's not in it. Well, both. The filth that's sold today, you need to look what's not in it. I suggest going to the table of contents and seeing what's in it. I believe that He's going to look in the books at our works, and we're either going to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, or every sin we've ever committed is going to be brought to our remembrance right there in front of the God of this universe. And you let me just sort of look at it in my little country boy way of thinking. I believe He's going to say, now come here, boy, I want to show you something. Here's where your name could have been. Now, I've got to blow something out of the water for you. God is not in heaven gnawing on His fingernails and worried, saying, I hope somebody comes down the aisle where I can write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's not Bible. If that's your theology, you need to read the book, friend. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter and verse 8, that our names are in the book of life from the foundation of the world. They're there. It's there. And my country boy thinking, I believe God goes down the pages of that book and says, Holy Ghost, there He is. Go get him. And you reject. Go get him. You reject. Yes, He knows who will reject Him. But I'm going to tell you something. His judgment's just. And I believe after the last convicting time, that name is blotted out. Now, I can't make it work fit any other way. I'm just thankful this morning that my name's in it. And my suggestion to you, if He's convicting your soul today, move toward Him in repentance. You say, well, I don't understand it. Don't wait to understand it. Just repent. Just get saved. There, not only will you be shown a book as to where your name could have been, you'll be shown no mercy I hear this all the time. God's a God of love. Yes, He is. But there is a chasm that His love will not arch over into. It's called hell. At the gates of hell, love stops. Verse 15, Revelation 20. And the beast was taken. Excuse me, wrong chapter. He's going to be there with you, by the way. And whosoever, verse 15, chapter 20, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. There's no appeal court. You won't get out on a technicality. You won't be released from a first degree crime and convicted by a civil court. It's justice. No sympathy. No love. Damned to an eternity in hell. Let me say again, I thank God that my sins have been placed upon Jesus Christ. That He bears the believer's sin. And I thank God that He convicts me and I can look in my own heart and repent before Him every day as a Christian. And I thank God for His grace that I shall stand before a judgment seat of Christ, and He has given me the opportunity and breath to serve Him here, and I thank God that I'll not be here. And that I can stand before you and tell you that there's still time. Today is the day of salvation. There's still time to repent. Because at this place, there's no appellate court. Not going to change governors or presidents and be pardoned. But stand guilty before Him. I've got to talk to you a moment about God's attributes of just and justice. You see, He's a loving God. But He's a holy God. That's two of them. He loves us and He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. But He's holy. He cannot in no way countenance sin. Now because of His holiness, He can't have anything to do with sin, and now because He's just, He can't change His judgment. A just judge won't change His judgment. Remember, this one's on a throne, not a bench. Y'all follow what I'm saying, do you? So He had to make a way for His holiness and justice to be satisfied. Justice had to be satisfied. And to do that, He sent His Son to take my place and your place. That's what a just God did for you. But I want to tell you, here at the great white throne, He's still as just. He's not just to those that are saved. He is just and meets out justice to those that are lost. Now, with that in mind, turn with me to Luke 12. Let's see a just God here. Luke 12, verse 41. He had just told them they need to have their loins girded about and waiting on the Lord's return. Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now look at this. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Now that's judgment, isn't it? A different kind of judgment, but judgment. He shall be beaten with many stripes. Verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. I've studied that many times. The only thing I can come up with is there are degrees of punishment in hell. If there are degrees of bliss in heaven resulting from our works, there must be degrees of punishment in hell. What about those over in Africa, Asia, had never heard? What's the answer to that, preacher? You mean God will send them to hell? Yes, he will. But the answer to it is plain. Let me give you the answer in one word. Missionaries. That's why we need to be sending what? Thank you. That's the answer to it, the gospel. But I believe according to the 19th Psalm, there's enough evidence that there is a God in creation. And if they call out, he'll reach them. My opinion. Well, let me say this. We don't need to get off track in our thinking and discussion about what to do about those that had never heard. It says here they'll be beat with few stripes. My question this morning is of different nature. What about those that have heard and heard and heard again? Amen. Let me close with the prophet Isaiah. Listen. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Here's good news. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Stand with me.